Greet each one in Jesus' name. I trust you. I've already been filled this morning with the service. I know on a Sunday morning like this, I look for different things to focus on worship with this responsibility. And I was really blessed by the verse in front of the bulletin this morning. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Those are beautiful words. And with the message we'd like to look at this morning, my mind was thinking of that inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. What's the value of that? How do you measure what's there? Words can't comprehend what that says. Then we sang that song, Glory, I'm Saved. I was hoping to hear an amen or a hallelujah. I was too quivery to do that at that time. But it's a gift that God gave us. Then we sang the song, The Beautiful Garden of Prayer. How do you measure that value? Every one of us uses that garden. And without that, how would you measure life? What would be the value of it? So I trust each one of us has been, as we looked at, read that verse and sang those songs, your heart was stirred. This week, as the week progressed, like Larry said, things didn't go as planned. And as I was studying, I thought I was going to preach on the thought of meekness. And as of this morning, I was still grappling with different times when I struggle with what to think about. I look at the fruit of the Spirit and I like to pick them apart. And meekness was one I don't think I ever spoke on. And there's a lot of them that run parallel with each other and are intertwined. They have similar expectations, ain't the word for it, but anyhow, I couldn't come up with a message on meekness. And as I was sitting there, almost in panic mode, this little thing was sitting in my desk. And like normal, I fiddle when I get nervous. I gotta do something. And I began to look at this tape. Everybody knows this is a tape measure. We build our lives around measurements. From little on up, we're fascinated with them. This is just a piece of plastic, some steel, with a whole bunch of marks on it. I think the first foot, every inch has 32 marks, and then it goes to 16 little marks between each inch from there on up. And without these little things, our lives would be miserable. But how much confidence can we put in these man-made things? There's a tower down at the mill that's 130 foot tall that if it wouldn't have been for accurate measurements, it would have been a miserable structure. But I don't think I re-drilled one hole as I bolted that thing together. Everything was perfectly in place. Every X brace had a designated hole, and it was all because someone followed the measurements. Nine times out of ten, this thing probably came from somebody who couldn't speak English, probably came across the sea, someone I have zero confidence in. That wasn't said right, but you get what I mean. Some machine probably pumped out thousands of these things, and we put more confidence in machines because they're not as prone to fail as man, but they still do let us down. But do I know the person that made this? No, I don't. But without fail, we continually build our lives around them. We don't guess it. We don't get another tape measure and put it beside it every once in a while to make sure these numbers didn't change. I worked with an old mason. I talked to him just the other week, and he don't carry a tape measure like this. He carries a tape measure like the old wooden ruler, the one you flip open. And as I was talking to him, he pulled it out of his pocket, doing the same thing I do. You need to fiddle with something. And he pulled it out of his pocket, and I was like, there's an old-timer who still uses the old tape ruler. It didn't change. It's as accurate as it was the day he brought it, as long as he didn't break it. And I'm planning, I think most of us are still planning to continue to build off of measurements, things that are accurate. Our lives, it brings structure to them. And I think every one of us used some type of measurements already this morning or dealt with them. I'm sure your sisters, if you didn't prepare a meal, you probably will. And it's only if you stick to the measurements that you have good results. The clothes we wear, they look and feel right if they are the proper measurement. I wore 34 30s for years. 32s don't work, 36s don't work. But they're measurements. Like I said, those of us who were in construction, measurements means a lot. We buy and sell using measurements. Corn is sold by the bushel. Lumber is bought by the foot. You sisters bake. We measure things by mouths. So our lives are surrounded with this simple tool that supports us. And we use all manner. Just the other week, boys and I were working on a motor, and we'd adjust the valves, and that feeler gauge was, I think, 10/1000ths of an inch. Does it matter if it's an 1/8 inch instead of 10/1000ths? Well, it won't run. Or if you take directions from somebody, and they say approximately 4 miles, and if you're from out of the area, and you're over in Perry County Hills, approximately 4 miles ain't a comfortable thing. Give me the exact. Tell me it's a mile and a half, then I know how to look. So our lives are, like I said, the structure and comfort that comes with these solid figures. But this morning, we all here, we come here not to talk about a tape measure. We all know that. We know we measure our week by 7 days, and today is the first day of the week, and it's just a known thing that you will be here. Or is it more this morning? Are you here more than just because it's Sunday and it's the right thing to do? I'm glad you're here this morning. But you can turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 10. I'd like to read this chapter, and there's two little phrases that stood out to me as I read over these verses. Oh, I should say three. There was three things. So I'm going to read chapter 10 and some of 11. And Brother Larry's prayer, he prayed for these very things. And there is a time coming. So let's read this chapter this time. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet a pillar of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices and was about to write, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that therein are, that there should be time no more, no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servant the prophet. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hands and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Arise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and them that worship therein. So as we read this passage, I'm not prophetically inclined to pull a lot of prophecy, but there's a few verses or a few phrases that stood out to me as I read this. And with my way of thinking, I was impressed. Right there in verse 6, we're reminded that there is time coming, that time will be no longer. This is something we looked at in the Sunday school lesson a little bit. But in verse 9, I'm not sure what this little book is that was given by the angel. But I like to think that as the word of God. I might be taking out context here, so bear with me. But this little book that was given us, the Bible, we were told here, or the prophet John was told here, to eat it, to take it into himself. These plans, these prints, were supposed to be part of him, his inner being. And the third thing I'd like to look at briefly here is the measurement of it. In chapter 11, verse 1, he was told everything that he's supposed to measure, and it says, them that worship therein. So this morning, God is measuring each one of us today, or his word is. And I'd like to focus on that briefly this morning as we think of the word of God. How do I see these 3 points? Is it something that I look at lightly? Preachers have been saying Jesus has been coming for thousands of years, hasn't come yet. I've had this book given to me. Most of us have multiple Bibles. This book that has been given to me, have I partaken of it? Have it made it part of my life? And the last one there is, am I letting it measure my life? Am I calculating the truths of it and making it make a difference in me? So this little book had an author. It wasn't like the author or the maker of these. We don't know who. I didn't do no research who came up with a tape measure or anything. But we don't know who that was. We do know who was the author of the Word of God, the Bible. Have these ever misled somebody? Has everyone made a wrong measurement? Put the wrong thing together? Made mistakes? There's plenty of proof of those mistakes. This author never made a mistake. Have we had to make corrections already while using these? Not everything at the mill was built with the holes at the right place. But if I follow these instructions, everything will be at the right place. There's no limitations. There's no shortcomings. There's no misleading. But I have to partake of it. You have to personally partake of it. It's not going to just happen. So what am I measuring life with today? Am I looking into the law of God daily, applying the truth to His word in my life? Or am I following some other standards? The world's full of types of measurements. The world is full of different things we can pattern our lives after. Not all is bad, but we still need to question it with the Word of God. So each one of us, no matter if we're young or old, are trying to measure up to some standard. Someone has an influence on our life. But with that in mind, what is the core thought of my heart? Am I trying to reflect something else, someone else, or am I trying to reflect this little book? Is the Word of God what vibrates at the core of my heart? Or is it myself, my own desires? Where I think things should be, is that what's hid there? David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin." Is that my core? To hide the word of God so close to my heart that I don't sin. If I have that there, it's going to affect every aspect of our life, of my life. There won't be these gray areas. There won't be these things that was just me. It's a reflection of a little book in my heart. We as humans can have hidden values and things we think that don't make a big difference. But in the course of time, we see, we know what humanity does. As we think of the David there, that verse there in Psalms where he says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." If we have something hid, we normally value it. Few people hide or keep something very safe. We call it hid, but or in a safe that don't have much value. We put effort to maintain that safety then, to keep it secure. Is that how I see the Word of God this morning? I'm doing my utmost with all my ability to keep God's Word active in my heart and hid there, and the fruit of that comes out. So this morning, by you coming here, shows that you have a desire to do what is right and have that interest in God's Word. And that's a good choice for today, but tomorrow there's going to be the same choices needed to maintain that desire. I think that's the evidence as our desires or our choices each day reflect what's hidden in our heart. And I don't doubt or question that we're just Sunday Christians. I trust we are having that desire to be that child of God, to be that reflection of Him each day, that the Word of God might continue to flow, but we as humans at times can put a good front on Sundays. So let's remember to keep God's word hid in our heart. This little book. In a few weeks, I think, this month, we'll be asked to examine our lives. Think of the council meeting coming up. You're going to be asked to, we're going to all be asked to examine our every action, our every thought, our every word. We're not going to be asked to evaluate it by the little decree. Well, that's in there, the decrees for to keep. But first of all, by this book, we need to examine our life. How does it measure up? Yeah, and then the standards come in there, and then also those around us. So this is questions that every one of us will need to answer. So do I view this author, the Lord Jesus, as sovereign, all-knowing, and all-powerful? He knows my every thought, my every action. And I'm measuring my life by this book. We're going to look at a few verses here. Not everyone, you don't have to turn to them all. But Isaiah 40, verse 11 and 12. We think of a measurement. And how God measures this thing. Thinking the sovereign God, an all-knowing God, an all-powerful God, the author of this book. And he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in the bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of the hand and meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? I love verse 11 there. This is where he wants every one of us to be. He wants to hold us in his arms, to care for us, to carry us. But he's not going to do that against our will. We must choose to be there. And then he goes on saying how he's all-powerful. Water is something that I think we'll touch on that. Yeah, these measurements, the way he measures the waters and the sky, and it's beyond our imagination, our comprehension how he could do this. But he's a sovereign God. In one hand, he's holding us. In the other hand, his majesty is, it's unfathomable how he can do these. But this is his measuring. Psalms 33, 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together in a heap, and he laid up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the habitation of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. This morning, are you standing in awe at the workings of God? I believe this passage here reflects back to the flood, when he created the world. Wait, I jumped there with, I think the next one is where it talks about, I would like to look at Psalms 104. Turn to Psalms 104. As we see in this author there, we stand in awe at his greatness, how he created the world. Now here in Psalms 104, 5 through 9, it's pointing back to the flood. Who had laid the foundation of the earth, that it should be not be removed forever? Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment, and the water stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hastened away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys unto the place which thou dost hath founded for them. Thou hast set bounds that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. Here we see how the psalmist reflects back to the flood, how God had moved the waters. Water is something that many people fear. We see the power of it, and to us it looks uncontrollable. But remember there in Isaiah 40, we remind that God holds us in one hand, and in the other hand, he has the oceans in his control. He measures it. It's not something that will overtake the earth ever again, because he said it, so he said it that way. We all know the flood was a total devastation to the then known world, but it only lasts for a time. But God's measurement on the righteous lives of that time, those who were living righteously by, I don't know what Noah, I don't know if he could read or not. Yeah, he could, because God gave him instructions. But what law did Noah live by? God said he was a righteous man. He taught his children to follow the same God he believed. And their lives measured up to the standard that pleased God. And God gave them an escape route from that destruction because they followed his standards. His ruler. And then they found that comfort, that peace, that security, because they stood on God's word. Hebrews 1, verse 10 and 11. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom all things, and for by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all in one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call us brethren. That wasn't making sense. Go Hebrews 1, verse 10. I was in 2. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as the thick garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Here we see a quick flashback of how they focused on creation, how beautiful creation began. But ever since that time, things are wearing out, things are getting old. Things are dying. But as we see the author of this book, it says here, it has never changed. Are we building our lives off the things that do not change? The measurement will stand true. Colossians 1. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. This thought here reminds me of the one we read back there in Psalms, where we stand in awe at his greatness. And here we see how everything that we see, everything we know, our entire being needs to be turned back to him. It's to bring him honor. It's to bring him glory. So is that what's coming from my life? Is my life one that wants to praise and honor him each moment? Or is there something else? You can turn to Revelation 4, chapter 11. Revelation 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So as I look at my life, as you look at your life, is that the measurement the things you have, are you viewing them through these eyes? They are to bring the glory and honor to God. Here we see again that we need to reverence and worship the one who wrote this little book. The one who has given us this law. Is that the one I love and serve? Is that the one you are purposing to love and serve each day? That is my desire and prayer for myself. And for each one of us, that we become more keenly aware of the measurement of God's word more than anything else. There's many things that we can be impressed by, but I want Isaiah 40:11 also to be the reality. How God said there that he wants to carry us, I forget how it said now, close to his bosom. He wants to hold us, even though the entire world's in his control. He wants us right here close to his heart. So then when we come to the end of life, when they're like in Revelation there, chapter 10, where it says, when time shall be no more, we will be there in his presence forevermore. Let's kneel for prayer.